morning. Thank you for your patience this morning. We are back in the building. It's amazing to be back in the building. And for those of you that are in the parking lot, I'm not sure how many we have out there, but welcome to you as well. For this day, I saw you all eagerly charging in, and I had to wear this tie. But I realize you all can't see this tie, so I can be there. So with that, our call to worship, and as I said, we're kind of confused here.
Yeah.
Good job, Dudley.
All right. I think this is a very appropriate call to worship for us this morning. I chose Psalm 100, and it says this. I'm reading from the Message, by the way, because it just captures it. So, as you hear what is said, I want you to act this out. On your feet now, applaud God. Sing a bit of laughter. Sing yourselves into his presence. Know this is God. God is God, and God. He made us. We didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter with the password, thank you.
Thank you.
Make yourselves at home talking praise. Thank him. Worship him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever. Let's worship God together.
Amen. Amen. Don't leave.
Father God, we celebrate you. We celebrate your goodness and your protection and your love and your mighty power. We are so grateful to be back together again inside the building. We thank you that we had ways to worship together through the long, long months of the pandemic. And we are just grateful, Lord, for you. May your presence fill our hearts and our minds and this very room today. In your son's precious name, amen.
Amen.
Now we're going to sing.
Oh, sorry. 562.
Be thou my vision.
563.
Wait, 563. Open my eyes that I may see.
We knew that.
Truth thou hast for me, place in my hands the wonderful.
I give all to you.
No matter the cost or To hit the ball. And for people who don't have these talents, the part where players are chosen can be sad. We might be afraid we'll be chosen last or not chosen at all. Our Bible passage kind of reminds me of the choosing part of sports. In 1 Samuel 16, God had decided to choose a new king for Israel. He told the prophet Samuel to go to Bethlehem, to a house of Jesse. God knew exactly who he was going to choose. So Samuel listened, and he told Jesse to bring his sons so that God could tell him which one he had chosen. Jesse brought in seven sons, and each one of Jesse's sons passed by God. God told Samuel that each of his sons was not the one. Samuel could not understand it. They all were handsome men and very strong. Surely one of the king God had chosen. But God said to Samuel, "Don't consider his looks. I have rejected him. Man looks at outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." After seven of Jesse's sons had passed before him, there were no more sons in the house. So Samuel asked, "Are these all of the sons you have, Jesse?" It turns out Jesse had a son who was still a boy, and he was taking care of the sheep. Samuel had Jesse call his son in, and he said, God said, "When David came in, he says, 'He is the one.'" So Samuel anointed him with oil. He wasn't the oldest, and he wasn't the tallest, and he wasn't the strongest, but God chose him to be the king because God does not look on the outside. God looks at the heart. So let's pray. Dear God, help us remember that you don't love us because of how big we are or if we can throw the ball good or not. And what we look like isn't important either. You love us and you look at our hearts. And we thank you for this. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Don't want to step on those. Those are our decorations. It is good to be back in the building. Now I can see faces, so if I tell a joke and I get crickets, I know to keep going, whereas before I still leave a pause, and there might be crickets, and I didn't know that. So it's good to be with you in person. I'm so glad to be here. Our scriptures today are going to come from Isaiah, from the Psalms, and from Matthew 25. I'm beginning a series on Matthew 25, which our church is a part of becoming a Matthew 25 church, as the presbytery has challenged us, and I'll share more with that in a moment. Beginning with Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 through 11. Cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. And they ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this fast that I choose, to loose the bond of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke and to let oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in the scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And another reading from the Old Testament comes from Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And finally, from the passage that we'll be focusing on today, from the Gospel of Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on the right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? And then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away and turn into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. As I began several months ago, our presbytery challenged all the churches in our presbytery to think about becoming Matthew 25 churches, to consider what that would mean. And as our session considered this, we determined that in many ways we are already doing what a Matthew 25 church does. I'm going to read from the website. I'll put it up here as well. From the website we read, we aim to multiply this loving commitment to radical and fearless discipleship by partnering with mid-councils and congregations to help them embrace one or more of these three focuses. Building congregational vitality by challenging people and congregations to deepen their faith and get actively and joyfully engaged with their community and the world. Dismantling structural racism by advocating and acting to break down the systems, practices, and thinking that underlie discrimination, bias, prejudice, and oppression of people of color. And lastly, eradicating systemic poverty by working to change laws, policies, plans, and structures in our society that perpetuate economic exploitation of people who are poor. So I'm doing this series on Matthew 25. And if you're like me, in the past year, we have seen so much division in our country along socioeconomic, racial, ethnic, political, and other lines. It seems like if there was a way to divide people, to put one against another, then we sinners, we found it. As your pastor, I want us to move away from what divides us. And I want us to move towards what unites us, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. Let's focus on his words today. We read in our gospel passage today of Jesus' return for judgment, and in verse 33, he separates the sheep from the goats. And then he says to his sheep, those on his right, verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And he adds, in verse 35 and 36, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. But in contrast, what he says to those on his left, he says this in verse 41, to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devils and his angels. And then he adds in verses 42 and 43, for I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Now, this passage, this whole passage, is often used by people that preach social justice, and I'm not against preaching social justice. But in reality, the task we are all charged with as Christians, we are charged to care for those in need, to feed the hungry, to give those that are thirsty a drink, to clothe the naked, to welcome the stranger, and to visit the sick and those in prison. And it is true, we all should be doing those things. Yet note the question that they both have. It's not one that had this question. They both had the question where they said in Matthew 25, verses 37 through 39. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or when did we see you thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? It's interesting. They're asking this question, when did we see you this way? And the unrighteous ones, the one on his left, they did the same thing. Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Isn't it ironic that they're both asking the same question? When did we see you this way, Lord? When did we see you this way? It's a good question. And Jesus' answer is solid. To the righteous, he will say, verse 40, and the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. And to the cursed, he will say, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. So the question is, why would the righteous not know that they'd done these things? It's clear that the righteous were doing these things, that they were feeding the hungry. They were giving drink to those that needed a drink. They were giving clothes to those that needed clothing. They were welcoming those that were needing of welcome. They were tending to the sick and to those in prison. But why did they not know that they had done these things? Jesus is clearly saying that we are to feed the hungry, that we are to give drink to the thirsty, to clothe the naked, visit the sick and in prison. But the righteous who had done these things didn't even know they'd done them. This is why we cannot preach social justice as an end in itself. When we preach social justice and that's it, we're missing the mark. We can all do good things, things that righteous people would do, and it have no meaning whatsoever. Perhaps the answer comes from the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, it says this, on that day many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. But the things they were doing were righteous deeds. But he says, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I never knew you. The fact is that we can do all sorts of good things, even what would be considered doing things in God's name, unless it flows from a knowledge and a relationship with our Lord, it's nothing. Remember Paul's words to the church at Corinth in chapter 13, the great love chapter. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, that sounds like a good thing, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. You all are probably already, love is patient, love is kind, going into those verses. I know we've read them so many times. But these are all good things. But if we don't have love, who's love? God is love. Love is not God, God is love. So why would the righteous not know they'd done these things? I believe that the reason the righteous did not know they'd done these things was because it flowed directly from their relationship with the Holy God. As people created in the image of God, they were connected to their Creator God. These actions naturally were a part of who they were, unconscious of their service. Watch a young child around a parent they look up to, right? We've all seen the picture of a dad out there mowing the lawn and his little son with a little popper mower right behind him, right? Or we've seen mom doing things in the kitchen and kids are right there with it, making a bigger mess because they're better at it, I guess. I don't know. But they're in the flour and they're covered with it and they're having a good time. They're trying to emulate the ones they respect. They're emulating their parents, right? And as children of God, guess who we should emulate? Guess who we should be doing the same things that God does? We should be about feeding the poor, feeding the hungry, and giving drink to the thirsty, and clothing the naked, and visiting those in the hospital that are sick and that are in prison. A few weeks ago, I read several different devotions at different times during the week, and a few weeks ago, I read From My Utmost for His Highest. It's a book by Oswald Chambers. Many of you are familiar with it. This is the entry for May 12th. And I'm going to read the whole thing. I didn't include the verse here, but I'll read the whole thing. He's talking about making a habit of having no habits. That was his title. Makes you go, huh? I don't get it. Listen. Oswald Chambers. When we begin to form a habit, we are conscious of it. There are times when we are conscious of becoming virtuous and patient and godly, but it is only the stage. It is only a stage, excuse me. If we stop there, we shall not get the strut of this. I'm going to start over because I'm messing it up. When we begin to form a habit, we are conscious of it. There are times when we are conscious of becoming virtuous and patient and godly, but it is only a stage. If we stop there, we shall get the strut of a spiritual prig. The right thing to do with habits is to lose them in the life of the Lord until every habit is so practiced that there is no conscious habit at all. Our spiritual life continually resolves into introspection because there are some qualities we have not added as yet. Ultimately, the relationship is to be a completely simple one. Your God may be your little Christian habit, the habit of prayer at stated times, or the habit of Bible reading. Watch how your Father will upset those times if you begin to worship your habit instead of what the habit symbolizes. I can't do that now. I'm praying. This is my hour with God. No, it is your hour with your habit. There is a quality that is lacking in you. Recognize the defect and then look for the opportunity of exercising yourself along the line of the quality to be added. Love means that there is no habit visible. You have come to the place where the habit is lost, and by practice, you do the thing unconsciously. If you are consciously holy, there are certain things you can imagine you cannot do, certain relationships in which you are far from simple. And that means there is something to be added. The only supernatural life is the life the Lord Jesus lived, and he was at home with God anywhere. Is there anywhere where you are not at home with God? Let God press through in that particular circumstance until you gain him. And life becomes the simple life of a child. Living as part of a Matthew 25 church, let each of us be holy because God is holy. Love because God is love. Serve because Jesus came to serve. It all flows from our relationship with God. That's where it starts, and that's where it finishes. That's why the righteous did not know that they had been doing these things, because they were in a relationship with God. So, of course, they were doing these things, but they weren't thinking about these things. It flows first and primarily from our relationship with God. Amen. Let's pray. Holy God, as we, as Mission Woods Church, begin our journey and or continue our journey in becoming a Matthew 25 church. God, we know that there is so much need around us, and I am so thankful to see so many in our church that are eager to step in, that are eager to help clothe the naked and feed the hungry and give drink to the thirsty and to visit the sick and to visit those in prison. God, we have a genuine care for the least of these. But God, help us not to focus on those actions, but to keep our eyes focused upon you, that our eyes might be set upon you, that we might seek to be holy as you are holy, to be loving as you are loving, to be gracious as you are gracious, to be at peace as you are at peace. Lord, may we shine your light as you are the light. May we truly be reflectors of your image. May we be born and created and continually created into your image, that others may see the things we're doing and not give it the glory to us, not say, hey, that was really nice of you to do that for these people. No, but give the glory to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue in our worship, we are going to be celebrating communion today. And I'm hoping that all of you received your little cup. If you did not, please raise your hand. And I know that Jen will be a faithful servant and get one to you. I'm not seeing any hands up. Oh, we do have a hand. Jen, we have a communion cup that's needed here. Thank you. Let's prepare for communion.
And be comforted. remembrance of me. Search for truth in remembrance of me. Always love in remembrance of me. Don't look above, but in your heart, look in your heart for God. Do this in remembrance of me.
I do have to say it's wonderful to hear so many voices singing again. Oh, Lord, you have blessed us. Thank you, Lord. As we come to communion today, this table, yes, it is the mission, it is the table that is in Mission Woods Church, but it's not the Mission Woods table. This is the Lord's table. It is set aside for all those who profess a faith in Jesus Christ, for all those who understand and want to follow him to the best of their ability. That's all we're asking. That's all he asks. In your bulletin is a creed, the Nicene Creed. Nicene is one of my favorites, simply because it's one that is accepted among all three major branches of Christendom. The Protestant, which is us, the Catholic, which is the Roman Catholics, and also the Eastern Orthodox. So your Russian Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, they also accept this creed. And so in a very real way, as we say the creed together, we are pronouncing our faith or announcing our faith, professing our faith, along with Christians around the world. And I know that more and more churches are opening up, and so this has, I think, especially today for us, a very significant meaning. So let's say the creed together, and it'll be nice to hear your voices saying it with me. One of the traditions of saying the creeds are to stand up and profess our faith. We stand up for our faith. So if you're able, if you can stand. Here we go. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and of earth, and all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Holy God, we gather around this table, And we ask now that you would take these simple elements and the elements that we have in our spots where we're worshiping today. And God, we ask that you would set those aside for your divine purpose. God, I pray that the bread would remind us once again of the nourishment you give to each one of us. That it would remind us that your body was broken for our sins. And God, as we take the cup, I pray that the cup would remind us that your blood was poured out, but also that you give drink to those who thirst. God, may we emulate these, feed the hungry, give drink to those that are thirsty. We pray that we might be your hands and feet in our community, in the greater area of the South Puget Sound that we're in, and God, even around the world, Lord. May we shine your light that others may see it and look directly to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. On the night in which Jesus was to be betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of him." In the same way, after the meal, he took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me." I'm going to invite you, mine's in my pocket. Please remember, if you hold it sideways, you can get juice all over yourself. We're not doing baptisms today. I invite you to peel the top cellophane off, revealing the wafer. Christ's body has been broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of him. In the same way, after the meal, he took the cup. He said it was his blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Drink ye all of it. The blood of Christ has been shed for you. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for this meal. Thank you for being able to partake of it together, seated in one room and in our parking lot. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings and the nourishment you continue to give us. God, I ask, as I often do when we have communion, that as we have taken in the bread, as we have taken in the juice, Lord, we ask that as it becomes a part of who we are, for as they say, you are what you eat, God, may your Holy Spirit fill us from the top of our head to the tip of our toes to the end of each finger. Fill us, Lord. Let your light shine through us. May we give you glory. May we be image bearers to a hurting world, Lord. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we continue in worship, we're going to take our offering. And the way we're doing our offering is going to be a little bit different. We're not going to be passing the offering plate. The offering plate is actually going to be sitting on your way out. And so when you leave, you'll be able to drop your offering in there. But we're still going to do our offertory. So I'm going to invite our worship team up. I love how it's grown. It's nice. And let's, as they are singing the offertory, let us think of how we are offering ourselves to God as we seek to shine his light to the world.
Thank you all. In your bulletin is a list of prayer concerns, and many of you, we've been updating throughout the week on Haven. She's listed right at the top. Praise and thanksgiving that she did come through her surgery. They weren't able to do everything they wanted to do, so we want to continue to pray for her, and you can see the other requests that are there. Let's enter prayer together. God, we come before you, and we know that we are dependent upon you. We are not the ones that are able to do all that we need to have done, though sometimes we like to think that it's all up to us. So God, I pray that as we lean on you, as we lean on your everlasting arms, I pray, Lord, that you would hear our concerns, our joys, our frustrations. And God, I pray that you would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our minds to know, our hearts to feel, how you are answering each and every one of our prayers. God, you've answered the prayer of us being back in our building. And for that, we give you thanks and we give you praise. It has been a long time coming. It was well over a year ago that we held our last service here. In fact, it was March 8th of 2020. Was the last time that we had a worship service in this building. And so, God, we are thankful to be together again, even socially spaced. We are thankful, even though we're wearing masks. We're thankful just to be together as the body of Christ again. God, we lift up to you, Haven, this precious little girl, 5 years old. And God, she's endured so much. This past week, a 12-hour open-heart surgery. Actually, it was over a week ago, 10 days now. God, we pray that you would continue to hold her in your hands. We pray strongly for God's presence to be with the family and for your healing hand, Lord, to be upon little Haven. We're thankful that her chest is now closed. We're thankful that she's waking up. We pray, Lord, that you would give her the strength and the courage to endure the pain as she continues to heal. We pray for Jan, and we pray for the doctors to be able to understand the reason for her vertigo. We're thankful that Lance is down there with her, and we just pray that as she's now home, God, we pray for healing, and we pray for a successful treatment. We pray for Jerry, who's been diagnosed with an immunocompromised disease that causes paralysis and pain. And God, we pray that there might be some way to cure it or to at least alleviate these painful symptoms. God, we pray for healing and we pray for peace. We continue to lift up to you our sister Barb. We pray for you to give her strength and energy. Pray for the doctors to have an accurate diagnosis and to be able to prescribe effective treatment. We lift up to you our friend and brother Daryl as he undergoes chemotherapy. God, we thank you for the amazing energy that you continue to give him. God, we pray that the treatments he's going through would be effective. And I pray for a sense of peace to cover not only him, but his entire family. I especially lift up to you Joyce and Ann. And we ask for you to give them a sense of your peace and comfort and encouragement as they travel this journey, this difficult journey together with Daryl. We lift up to you Cindy as she was recently diagnosed with Parkinson's. God, we ask for effective treatment and your presence. And we continue to lift up to you Bob as he's having an extended recovery from his foot surgery. God, we're thankful that he's beginning to be able to put weight on that foot. We just ask for healing. We pray for his patience with the process. God, I lift up to you Lance and Carrie as they go through their CRE program with Dubuque Seminary. Be with them. Help them not be overwhelmed by the studies. Give them a keen mind, way of understanding, and an ability to apply it. And God, we also lift up to you our chaplains of East Pierce County, of which Lance is one, and we just ask that you would be with them. I know that they had a difficult situation this past week, and I just ask that you would be with the family that they were tending to, and just be with all the chaplains that respond in such caring ways. We lift up to you our nominating committee as they look to consider nominees for elder and for deacon. And God, we pray that they would find the right people. And God, I pray for those in our congregation that might be sensing a call to one of these positions, and I pray that they would be willing to step up. Put it on their heart, Lord. God, we thank you that you have taught us to pray through your Son, Jesus. In seeking to be more like him, as he always sought to honor you, Lord, we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, I'm going to look back here for our announcements. So, Zoom meeting for the session meeting today. I didn't know what order they were going to come up, so that's why I'm doing that. Bible study. Don't forget about Thursday night Bible study, 7 o'clock, led by Carrie. Does an amazing job. Oh, Cammie, well, Cammie's usually there too, so that's always an awesome time. The deacons meeting will be on the 20th. I don't know if that's up here. And please don't forget our congregational meeting next week following worship. We'll have a congregational meeting to elect our elders and deacons. So if you feel that's on your heart to serve in one of those positions, please let either Natalie, who's back there, or Daryl up here know, and they would be happy to assist you. Also, last announcement, after services today, we wanted to have something special, and this includes any of you that are out in the parking lot. We would love for you to enjoy some milk and cookies with us, and so we'll be having those outside. They'll be individually packaged. You can take them with you, or you can stand around and chit-chat for a while. I know that I need to be making a departure to get home for the session meeting. So anyway, with that, let's stand and sing our closing hymn, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow.
I'm doing our benediction from outside for those in the parking lot. And now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above and beyond all who can ask or even imagine, to him be all glory, honor, and praise, both now and forever. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Please come on out and enjoy some milk and cookies.